How's it going? What's up, Chelsea?
Running good, man. Saturday. We in the dog days of the season, Big Ox. We got some scoring outbursts. It's wild out here.
Yeah, I mean, shit didn't look too dark to me. I mean, I jumped on the playback last night. I was scheduled to do OKC versus New Orleans. When I jump on, the game hasn't started yet. So me and Bama were checking out Atlanta-Dallas. Mm-hmm. And the score was like 51-51 and look at it, I think 37. So we know how that ended.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Absolutely. And I felt like it was going to be a special night, Big Ox, because Luka got one of those games. And not just Luka. You see dudes when they get it going, you could tell that, yo, something serious is going on tonight. And last night, like, it looked real easy for Luka. It didn't look like it was difficult. It didn't look like he was really struggling with his shot. He was struggling to get his shot off. He didn't look like he was doing any of that. It looked like he just had it going early and often. I mean, when he had 58 at the end of the third, I was thinking, see, Luka is not going to let them do what Minnesota did. We're not just going to just keep feeding me the ball. No, we're going to try to win. We're going to keep doing what we do, right? It's not just going to be, all right, get Luka the ball. Wait a minute, I'm the primary ball handler anyway. So that's not even the issue. Now they jump me. With them jumping me, I'm still one of the best distributors in the game, right? I'm still one of the best distributors in the game. And with me being one of the best distributors in the game, all you dudes got to do is be around the basket. I'm going to make plays for you guys. Not only am I going to make plays for you guys, I'm going to make plays in order for us to win. That's what I'm going to do. And watching Luka last night get going and guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. knocking down open shots the way he did, this kid Lively, Big Ox, he's the difference. This kid Lively is the difference in what they're doing. And when I watch him, I watch how much better they are. When he gets better, they're going to be even better. 100%, right. I do. I believe that.
Well, when
he gets better, they're going to be better.
What's to explain? I mean, how do you explain it? You got all in within a week. We got 70 from Joel, 62 from Cat, 62 from Book, 73 from Luka.
Yep.
I mean, how do we explain that outburst in this?
To be honest with you, Big Ox, and let's call it what it is. It's the ghost of Kobe Bryant. It's not a coincidence. It is not a coincidence that on January 22nd, 18 years later, right? If you flip 18 around, what is that? That's 81. That's number one. And we got a guy that scores 70 on the day that he scored 81. Mm-hmm. Then we got a guy 4 days later to the day when he passed, scored 73.
Right.
70 times 73. That's 143. 4 plus 3 is 7. Plus 1 is what?
8.
That's the Black Mamba right there. It's the ghost of Kobe Bryant. If we're gonna call it what, if we're gonna call it what it is, it's the ghost of Kobe Bryant, man. And it's not a coincidence that the guys who lost, Devin Booker lost, Cat lost. They scored 62.
Right.
Flip 62 around. That's 26. That's the day we lost Kobe Bryant. That's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. No. So it's this is not something that's just happening. And with that being said, he's always going to be here on some level. He's always going to be here. And I think it's great. But what I will say is we can't underestimate how awesome it is to do something like that. Like for Joel Embiid, right? For him to do something like that, to score 70, and then for Luka to score, and Luka tricked a couple of layups, Big Ox. That 73 could have been 80.
It should have been.
That 73 could have very well been, because he missed the wide open three, which he knocked down earlier. And then he smoked the layup going to the basket, right? He smoked the layup going to the basket. So with that being said, Ox, I'm telling you, man, that could have easily been 80 last night. Easy. Been 80, and they was going to him too. So to have a scoring outburst like this is great for the league. I think it's great for basketball. Contrary to popular belief, when people going, well, It depends on who you ask. Is this scoring bad for basketball? Well, viewership has been up. And the reason why viewership has been up is because scoring is up. That's what the game is about. The game is about scoring. And people want to see scoring. We've had four guys score 60 and 70 in the last 4 days, Ox. Like we'd be lucky if we got a guy score 60 in a season. Like if one dude did it, score 60 right. in a season. We had right. four guys score 60 and 70 in a week. Now, is this going to be the norm? Like, are we going to start looking at 55-point games? Like, yeah, that's really not that big of a deal. No, I will not allow that. I will not allow 55, 15, and 7 to get scoffed at. No, I will not allow 48, 17, and 8 to go like, well, whatever, that's no big. No, I will not allow that. Hell no will I allow that. But I can also say that, yo, 70 is pretty phenomenal, man. 73 is pretty phenomenal. 62, you got to be straight cooking.
You know, to get that many points, you can't go cold. Like, are you? It's crazy. It's unfathomable to me to score that many points.
Yes, Chilton, it is.
What I'm about to pull up right now, Chill, is right. this. I need to know your top five scoring performances of all time.
Top five scoring performances of all time. Let's yeah. see.
I'm gonna pull it up.
Yep.
And then we'll go. But in the meantime, though, do you discredit, like, so for instance, Cat and D-Book scoring 62 but losing?
No.
Like, what does that say? Is that, does it hold any weight? Or
it does. It absolutely does. Even though you lost, even though, of course, you want to win when you score 60. But it's not going to go by the wayside. Yo, you scored 60 but you lost. So? Yeah, it wasn't like I wasn't trying to win. It wasn't like I was just out here getting empty buckets. I mean, yeah. Phoenix lost on a buzzer beater. They needed all 62 of them points from Book. In fact, they had all 62 of them points if Obi Toppin doesn't clean up that miss. That's all they needed, right? They needed all 62 of those points. Cat, I mean, the Minnesota just went cold in the fourth quarter. Nobody talks about the fact that it was under 30%. From the floor in the fourth quarter. They shot, they shot 11% on the long ball. And they just went, they went about it the wrong way. They were actually trying. They just got cold, right? They just absolutely got cold. And if you don't respect me, Films, why don't you beat it with your front-running, subjective Philadelphia 76er ass? How about you do that? How about you tell your team to get better in the playoffs? How about you do that if you want us to talk about your bullshit Philadelphia 76ers? How about you tell Embiid to stay healthy so you can go deeper in the playoffs? How about you tell your guys to get better so you could go deeper in the playoffs instead of coming in here talking about us? How about that? I'm sorry, Big Ox. As I was saying, when you score that many points, right? So when you score that many points, of course you want to win. Of course you want to do work. No doubt about that. But I'm not gonna look at you scoring, you know, 60 and you lose and be like, that don't mean nothing. Yes, it does. I scored 60 in an NBA game. Not even an NBA game. Big Ox, you brought it up to me a couple of days ago. Big Ox, if you score 60 on your eighth grade team, on your son's eighth grade team, that's pretty damn impressive. That is pretty damn impressive.
If I'm by myself, and I'm the only one on the court, and I set a timer, and I make that many shots in a row, I'll make 70 shots. I'm good.
That's without resistance, Big Ox. That ain't even with defense. Let's take defense off the table. That's without resistance. If you make that many shots, man. So, and again, what I want to reiterate, Big Ox, it wasn't like Book was just out there chucking up shots. It wasn't like Carl Anthony Towns wasn't trying to win. They were trying to win. And Phoenix needed all 62 of those points. That was not Book's fault that Obi Toppin ended up getting a rebound and a putback with less than 3 seconds. That was not Book's fault. He did everything he could for them to win. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
But Chilton, let's get into this real quick. I'm curious about this. Let's start at five and go down to one.
Yep. the top five scoring performances of all time. Let's see here.
Not only that, when you do, tell me whether or not it was ethical.
Whether it was ethical or not, like it wasn't empty or, let's see. Top five score. Before yesterday, it would have been Damian Lillard's 71 because he had the most efficient 71 in NBA history, 70-point game in NBA history. Until Luka did what he did to actually break the record. So the top five scoring performances ever. At number five, Big Ox, Kobe Bryant's 48. I never seen nothing like that before, man, in my life, in the 2001 Western Conference semifinals when he scored 48 on the Sacramento Kings in that closeout game. I had never seen anything, and again, I seen Dr. J play live. I seen the Bad Boy Pistons play live. I seen Dominique Wilkins play live. I seen Jordan play live. I seen Malone play live. Kobe's 48. Against the Kings in 2001 was incredible, man. That was pretty incredible. At number four, yesterday, Luka's 73. Definitely has to go up there considering what he just did, how efficient he was. Yes, Luka's 73 definitely goes up there. He was just phenomenal yesterday. At number two. At number two, it's in February of 1990. Jordan put 69 on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mike was just, I think they lost that game. By the way, I don't think that if they won, I think that game went into overtime. And these is ethical buckets too. By the way, Big Ox. Right.
How much was it? 68.
69. 69. Cleveland. 69 against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 69 against Cleveland. That was pretty impressive. Number two, Brian again when he put 81 on Toronto. That was fantastic. I actually had to go home and watch the game. It wasn't until years later that I actually watched the game. And with me watching the game, I was like, "What the hell? This dude scored 81." And at the top of the list, and I don't think that in my lifetime I'm ever going to see it, but Wilt's 100. Chamberlain's 100, and Chamberlain's 100 is so phenomenal that there's people who don't actually think it happened.
Right.
That's how phenomenal it is.
Who was that game against?
That was against Philly. I'm sorry. It was against the Knicks. It was Philly against the Knicks. Yeah. Which, by the way, Big Ox, nobody talks about the fact that when he scored that 100 on the Knicks, you know he caught a ride because we don't have private planes and stuff like that. So Philly to New York. They drove up. Wilt Chamberlain lived in New York City when he was playing for Philly.
Yeah.
So he caught a ride back with the guys on the Knicks after he put 100 on them. So I'm going to put 100 on you, and I was wondering if I can get a ride back home, fellas, if that's okay. And he jumped in the car with these dudes.
Yeah, I'm like, nah, get on the train. I'm not taking me. Like, yeah, you're not allowed in my car. You just got this. You can't ride with me. I don't care how you feel about it. Call me a Porsche, anything. I don't care. I don't care if you get home tonight. Personally. Yeah.
Figure it out. Yeah. Figure it out, Big Ox.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because you ain't getting home because of me. Because you're not getting home because of me. Definitely not. So, and there was a bunch of other games. Elgin Baylor is 61 in the playoffs. Let's see. Elgin Baylor, Jordan 63 against that Luka. That 63 from Jordan might have to come off of what Luka did. Now that I think about it, that 63 from Jordan in the playoffs in 86, that might have to come off for what Luka did. That's a tough one, Big Ox. That is, man. When I'm thinking about it, take MJ's 69 out and put his 63 in. Yeah, that's 69.
That 63 was against the Celtics, right?
That's in the playoffs.
Right.
Take that 69 out and put MJ's 63 in. What he did against the Boston Celtics, that was remarkable, man. Yeah. Yo, that was pretty incredible what he did against them. It's so many different ones, Big Ox, that it's hard to it's difficult to pick one, right? Yeah. To pick five, and yeah, Jordan's 63. Actually, you know what I want to do, Big Ox?
Mm-hmm.
Take Luka's 73, move that down to five. Put Bryant's 48 ahead of that, because what I saw with Luka yesterday was pretty remarkable. But what I saw with Kobe Bryant in 2001, I don't think that surpasses any of that.
They're not gonna like that shit, Sam.
They'll get over it. They will definitely get over it. Because if you look at the ones that I have, so for example, Kobe, that was in the playoffs. MJ, that was in the playoffs. I know these other ones was in the regular season, but I mean, this is the second biggest scoring outburst in NBA history. Wilt's 100 points, that was the biggest outburst in NBA history. Nobody ever did nothing like that before. So, and that was 60 years ago. It's still going on. So, man. Luka scoring 73 yesterday. Golly. That was I did watch. You know what, Big Ox, too? Because it was a bunch of games on last night. And I was tuned into the Cleveland Milwaukee game. Something told me to peek my head and go watch this Atlanta-Dallas game. Something told me to go watch this Atlanta-Dallas game. And initially I was like, well, nah, because I wanted to see what Cleveland was doing. Giannis back in the lineup, because they had beaten Milwaukee earlier in the week by like 40 with no Giannis. And then Milwaukee came back and beat them. So now you got Milwaukee playing them again at home with Giannis in the lineup, with Dame in the lineup. So I definitely wanted to see that. And with that being said, I was peeking my head in with Atlanta, and when I saw that Luka had 44 at the half, I'm thinking, all right, I think I might stay tapped in over here. I think I'm gonna stay tapped in over here, because this looks like something that's gonna turn into something serious, right? So I ended up catching the Cleveland Milwaukee game later on. I caught it later on. So, and to the dude in the chat, so that's just not true. Because dudes do play defense. Jrue Holiday plays defense. Kawhi Leonard plays defense. OG Anunoby plays defense. Bam Adebayo plays defense. I can keep – Rudy Gobert plays defense. Dylan Brooks plays defense. These dudes play defense. The offense is just so good today. Yeah. The offense is just so good today. The rules are different. Not only are the rules different, the game has changed. With the game being so wide open and – having to cover more space, it's harder to guard guys. It's way more difficult to guard guys today than it's been in years past, because the game isn't as wide open. These guys, this, like, for example, Kenny Smith can shoot the long ball, Big Ox, right? Bro. Kenny Smith can shoot the long ball. Matt Bullard can shoot the long ball. Mario Elie can shoot the long ball. But those guys played on the long ball line. You got guys like Curry, Klay Thompson, Jamal Murray, De'Aaron Fox, Damian Lillard. These guys don't play on the long ball line. They play on the perimeter. And with them playing on the perimeter so far out, that's so much more space to cover. And it's hard to recover once you get, it's hard to recover when you're that far away from the basket, when you get beat. Now when we're in more of a confined space where, like, for example, Jaylen Brown a couple of nights ago, where Coach Mazzulla drew up plays and they hunted Luka. And he basically had Luka 15 to 17 feet away from the basket. That's different, because I can recover. Even though there's less space, there's more opportunity for me to recover, as opposed to when the game is spread out and we got guys 22, 23 feet away from the basket. And if you get beat, man, that's so much more space that I have to cover.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more space that I have to cover. So these guys are playing defense today. That's just not true. So Zoe, with your 15-year-old goofy logic, take that somewhere else. It's not that you guys weren't playing defense. Why can't, and I've never understood this, Big Odds, because there is a sense of the defense being a little bit manipulated. But is it fair to say, Big Ox, because you look at the game pretty, not black and white, but there's a lot of simplicity in the way you look at the game. Mm-hmm. So, Big Ox, is it fair to say that, yo, sometimes a dude is just that good?
Yeah, it's fair. Definitely fair. Some people you just can't do anything with.
Nothing.
I do think that teams guard Luka like he's just some regular guy. And it's just like you have to apply that pressure, right? Because a lot of times they're spamming that high pick and roll. Mm-hmm. It's just like you either got to blitz it or the hedge man can't hedge. It's not a hedge. You got to meet him as soon as he comes off that screen. You can't give Luka a second to make a decision. You have to force him to do something else because the second you let him think or probe the defense, it's just nothing more you can do. He's too big when he gets to that mid-range area, like in the middle of the paint, at the free throw line. He's too big when he gets deep around the basket. Once he comes around that corner, he sees a little daylight. It's over. It's too late. Yeah. It's just too late. Yeah. But let me see what we got in the back. Let's grab a couple of the fellas up. Actually, before we do that, let me for anybody that's listening and not watching, just to reiterate, Chilltown's top five scoring performances of all time. Number five happened last night. Luka Doncic 73 points against the Hawks. Then at number four, we have Kobe Bryant's 48 against the Kings. At number three, we have Michael Jordan's 63 versus the Celtics. At number two, we have Kobe again, 81 versus the Raptors. And at number one, I'm pretty sure y'all already knew this. Nobody's ever done it since Wilt Chamberlain, the only person to do it, 100 points versus the Knicks. So that's the list. That's Chill's top five all-time scoring performances. Chat, please feel free to drop your favorite scoring performance of all time. Drop that in the chat. Let's see what y'all like. First, let me bring up my man in the back, Desto.
What up?
Salute, OG. Salute, Ox. Always a pleasure, man. Desto. I'm there.
Yeah, you good.
You hot? Man, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? Always a pleasure being on.
Hey, yes, sir.
Hey, OG. First, I want to give you your flowers, man, because you're an OG, and instead of just coming out and saying like, "Oh, this era weak, nobody play defense," and "Oh, this dude would have did this back in the in today's era and all that," instead you really like in tune with the nuance of like today's game. You watch more than just the nationally televised games. And you actually can give a good analysis of why these things are happening in today's game. Like why these players are doing what they do. Why like the game, like the how the game has evolved. And I think that's important when we have like these basketball conversations now, instead of just looking at the box score and saying, "Oh, this dude not playing defense." Well, like you even broke it down earlier, like the spacing of today's game, the level of shooting, the way 7-footers can pull up from 30 feet and all that. Like it's insane now. So that's what I would first want to do. Just give your flowers for actually being an older, sports fan, but still being in tune with, how the game has evolved. I think that's important because a lot of people, they're just saying like, I feel like they be hating on some of the new era and not actually watching how basketball is now.
I'm on record saying that there's a dude that's 80 plus years old that's running around saying Bob Cousy is the best point guard in NBA history. There's a dude running around saying
ridiculous.
And I'm not that dude. I'm not going to be that guy. Don't get me wrong. You've heard me in the past say, yo, if Olajuwon played today, if Jordan played today, I think this guy would be awesome. But I still reckon that doesn't negate the dudes that's playing today.
Mm-hmm.
That they awesome too. And they're awesome in what's going on. I'm not going to just look, well, the game is a lot different. These dudes are so – listen, this is what the game is today. This is what these dudes look like today. And I'm on record saying it. Yo, KD would fry the 90s. He would fry them dudes.
Deep fry.
He would fry them dudes. And if as critical as I've been of Kevin Durant, I got to be honest about players' games. Giannis would destroy the 90s. Giannis wouldn't do work in the 80s. He would destroy the 80s. He would kill Charles Oakley. Are you kidding me? I'm trying to imagine Rick Mahorn trying to cover Giannis. I don't care how rough and tough Bill Laimbeer is. Giannis would destroy him. Giannis would eat Laimbeer's lunch. I'm not on the fence about that. I'm not saying maybe, possibly. No. That's when we talk about all-time great players. It means all time. That means that what I do now, I could have done this against you. And what you did back then, I could have done that against you. I think Dominique Wilkins would destroy the league today. Holy shit.
The new era is garbage. I don't give a fuck what you're talking about.
Did we lose him?
I think so.
I think we might have lost him.
Yeah.
All right, no problem.
Well, my bad. Somebody's calling me.
Okay, we got him.
No, yeah, somebody's calling me. Oh, shit. Hold on. It's my mama.
Nah, go talk to him.
I'm gonna be back.
No problem. You know what I say? You know what I call your mother, man. Call your mother. It's your mama. Talk to your mama.
Let's get Cowboy up here.
Salute, salute. People don't play defense, right? But look at what happened with Jokic against the Knicks. People don't play defense, right? How you doing today, guys?
And by the way, and hold on, Cowboy, don't stop there. Let's keep going. Don't make it sound like they just it was just Jokic. They whole crew was out there.
Okay, so you want to talk about the six steals that OG created?
That's what I'm talking about.
You want to talk about the out-rebounding, the defense that we played for once? Yes.
Don't just look at the 87. There's a reason why. And it wasn't like, you know, they sat this guy, they sat that guy. We had our whole crew.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. We played with our third center. We didn't even play with Mitchell. We didn't even play with Ihart. And here's the thing. How do we take advantage of it? It's called defensive schemes and how to read the plays. People don't realize that when you look at defense now, like, people don't even consider Claxton as a big, like a good defensive big. He averages like two blocks, gives you a double-double. People need to really understand what defense is. It's different now. Just because I don't block or steal the ball from you doesn't mean I'm not playing defense. You see what
Cowboy,
I'm saying?
Just so you know, Cowboy, and anybody that knows me knows, I think Dennis Rodman is the second best defensive player in NBA history. He's how many
Who's
times?
The first?
Lajuan.
Oh, we on the same page.
Absolutely. These are how many times Dennis Rodman led the league in steals.
Yep.
These are also how many times Dennis Rodman led the league in blocks. Just so we're clear, guys.
And he led the league in rebounds.
I just wanted to say
one more thing before I know you guys got a lot of people, but Embiid, I liked Embiid, what he did, but what irritated me was he scored 71 off of free throws with 41 attempts. I wish, because I think that would have been the time that we actually would have seen someone break Kobe's 80. I think that he could have done it that night. Because if you look at, you take 41 shots and you make 20, what do you make, 23, and then make 21 points for the free throw?
21
man,
free throws.
He could have hit 85. He could have been the closest to Wilt's number. That's the only thing I got difference with it. But as far as like what you were saying with everyone at the top 10, I got to add two more guys in there. And I'm going to say because of their three-point percentage during the game, Brunson hit 9 for 9 for three. And your boy Murray, I think he went 11 for 13 there, Big Ox. Keegan Murray, when he was shooting threes after Brunson shot his 9 for 9 from three-pointer, and then came back with like 10 straight. Those two right there, I was like, people don't even acknowledge a three ball. That's another new added thing to it. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say, guys, thank you. I told y'all how to stop Jokic. 7 months later, the Knicks finally did it without what we needed. There's defense there. You guys aren't seeing it because the offensive players are just that much better. You give them more spacing, they're taking advantage of it, as long as with the 3-point as well. And you also forget and ones are more called now than they were back then. You had to get a flagrant foul to get an and one back in the day. I'm talking about hitting the floor hard. So good
you
luck.
Have to play
Thanks, guy.
Definitely. Thanks, absolutely.
Guys. Cowboy. Go New
absolutely,
York, brother. Go New York, go.
Absolutely, brother. Good to talk to you, my man. Absolutely. Good to talk to you. No doubt. Absolutely. So yeah, Big Ox. I see the game different today than I did back then, but I don't discount what these dudes are. I can recognize a guy that I'm digging from back then and say that, yo, this dude, I think he'll be awesome today, without discrediting. I look at Devin Booker. Devin Booker would have fried it. Devin Booker would fry John Starks. He would have bust Latrell Sprewell ass, if I'm being honest. Devin Booker would have gave Latrell Sprewell hell. And Spree know it. Sprewell knows it. Devin Booker would have gave him hell. Donovan Mitchell would have gave them dudes hell back then. Hell.
Just stay away from this one, shit, mm-hmm. Only because you brought Latrell into it. And obviously, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and mm-hmm. stay away from this one. But let me see. We got AD in the back. What's up, AD? What's going on?
What's going on with y'all?
What up?
So to talk about those top five, you know, I mean, this pains me to say as a Boston fan, but because I hate the Heat. That Jimmy Butler 56 last year, game four. That, because I'm only 18, so I haven't seen, like, some of those other performances. But that right. was, and it was in the playoffs, big game. Right. Like, some of that sidestep three hit, it was just daggers. That performance is up there for me.
Didn't he put 50 on Philly to force game seven also? Something like that. Was it last year or the year before that? I think he put 50 on Philly.
No,
I think it was the year before that.
It was in Boston in game six. He had like 40-something to force a game seven, if you're talking about that one.
That's what I'm talking about. 48. That's the game I'm talking about. Yeah, he put 48 on him to force game seven. I do
remember that. Don't remind me about that game.
That series should have been over. That series should have been over because they was up in that series. They should have ended it. And Buckets goes up there and puts 48 on them. In order to force a game seven. I do remember that. Yeah. I do remember that.
And then the last thing, did you watch the Celtics Heat last matchup?
I did.
I think the biggest difference from last year is I talked to you about it before is when Porzingis can create those switches on those smalls, we couldn't take advantage of it this year.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled against switching defense. Just seeing what he can do, I think that's going to be a difference if we match up.
Yeah. And on top of that, Porzingis being in the middle of that zone. See, when Al Horford was in the middle of that zone last year, you didn't really have a guy who was that big of a creator like Porzingis, who could stretch the defense and then make the defense collapse to get guys open looks like Porzingis does. So the fact that when like teams like Miami, teams like Philly go zone, you put Porzingis in the middle of that zone, that makes you guys that makes you guys way more deadly.
Yeah, when he rolled his ankle though, I thought he was going to be out for 2 weeks, but he's all right, though. So.
Yeah, he came back out, so it looks like he's good. It looked like it was just a little tweak, and I'll live, no doubt.
Yeah, sure. All right, appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, man. This is the dog days of the season. This is the dog days of the season, Big Ox. You got guys that's in and out of the lineup with injuries. You got guys beat up that's trying to get to the All-Star break and get some time off. So once we get to this, then we're going to see something different.
Yeah, this I hear you because this is, you know, the dark days of the season. It's usually kind of slow, but this past weekend, I mean, you already spoke on it. You said, you know, it's the ghost of cold, and this has got to be because it's something different right now. This past week, and I do respect the guys now playing ball, and they play D, they do. But Chilton, we do have to acknowledge that it's a different kind of defense, though.
100% it is.
Because it's a lot less physical. You can't really touch anybody. So while there is guys that are competing on the defensive end, mm-hmm. I do think that the defense is somewhat lackluster compared to what I grew up watching.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I can say. But the skill set that these guys, even, you know, bench players and role players, the skill set these guys, the shots they can make is phenomenal. It's, right. I think it is at a level that we haven't seen. And that
With that being said, Austin, you talk about the defense. So with like you just said, with guys being a little bit lackluster, is it fair to say that because there isn't as much physicality in the game today, even though you are allowed to be a little physical, you're not allowed to be like you were in 1995, right? I get that part. But with that being said, doesn't it go a long way that, you know, I do have to be a bit smarter. Like, I can't use my hands as much. Not only can I not use my hands as much, I got to be able to move my feet a little bit better so I can beat guys to spots. I got to know how to close out when I'm closing out on the long ball. I can't just be out here with my hand up. No, I got to know which hand to close out on because, again, I can't run through guys like I did back then. I can't put my hands on guys. So fundamentally, I have to be better. I have to know which foot to close out on. I have to know which hand to close out on. I have to understand how to beat guys to spots. I have to make sure that I'm watching film. So when I'm anticipating what you're doing, which is guessing, when I'm anticipating what you're doing, I'm anticipating the right way because of how complex the offense is and because of how wide open it is. See, before Big Ox, you could just rough me up. You can't do that anymore. But before, as a 6'9 guy, you get me switched on the block, you could just rough me up. You could just bully me. And you could do that all night. Well, can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Been watching some good games, checking out playback. Actually, tonight, me and Luna are going to be on playback tonight. I'm going to be doing one with him, Lakers-Warriors.
Yep.
I bring that up because last time we were on playback a couple days ago, I believe it came up in the comments, something, and it's just the closeout. You just brought up closing out with the proper way, you know, sending the guy with the dribbler, the ball handler, sending him a certain way, and then beating him to spots and whatnot. What is it that about that flyby closeout? It drives me mad. It really makes me upset. It's lazy to me. But then I saw somebody say where in the NBA today, you have to fly by closeout. I'm just kind of, you know, maybe just need to be educated on that. So I'm saying, why is that? Why can't we close out in front of guys, and why do we have to fly by?
Well, so Big Ox, when you close out on me, right, when you close out on me and you put that hand up to block the shot, when I go up to shoot it and you go up with me, you have to give me room to land. So I have a landing space that I have. And if you invade that landing space, that's a foul on you. It's not like it was where you can invade my space and once you go up to block the shot and you're still in my space. So guys, instead of these guys like James Harden, Paul George, Kawhi, these guys know how to manipulate the defense where they get hit or they get in that, you end up in that space and it can end up being a foul. 4-3 can end up being a foul 4-2. So guys, they try to disrupt the shot sideways. So instead of me being straight right in front of you, I'm going to be this way and kind of swipe at the ball, which, I mean, that could be manipulated too. So guys are really worried about fouling more than anything.
Okay, I can see that. Let me see who we got back here. We got Mingle.
What up?
What's going on?
What up?
So this is my thing about the defense. Yeah, what you're saying, okay, with all the closing out and all that, yes, that's all well and good. But other than that, I mean, also the referees, plus the way the guys play, which I think they are more talented than the guys back there. Outside of Michael Jordan, I think everybody
Let's get back to a point.
Okay. What I was saying, they might be a little more talented, but the referees don't let these guys do what these guys can actually do. You see what happens when a guy get physical with a guy like Kevin Durant. When you're physical with Kevin Durant, he's not as effective as he could be if you just let him run free out there.
Right.
Boston proved that. So, I heard you say that Kevin Durant would destroy the 90s. Yes, now, if you playing physical with Kevin Durant, which we already saw, he's not effective. You can wipe him off the floor. He's no good. Now, so, Giannis, on the other hand, I agree with you with Giannis. Giannis would have scored the 90s. I agree with now Giannis. KD, no. I don't think KD would.
Let's rewind with KD a little bit. So we're talking about a guy in KD who, like you just saw with Boston, right? You just saw with Boston in 22. So I believe that was in year, 16? And that was in year 15. So at that point, this is how the NBA is. We have to give Kevin Durant an adjustment period. Right. So we don't have to. The reason why these guys look at the officials the way that they do when they get touched, the reason why they play the way that they do, because that's the way the game's being played. There is an adjustment. Kevin Durant would adjust to the physicality. It's not like every guy that was back then is rock strong and looks like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Reggie Miller, you could blow him over with a fan. Reggie Miller wasn't bigger than a minute. There was plenty. George Gervin was this big. George Gervin, you could blow him over with a fan also. But the adjustment period, I think, that it would take KD in order to adjust to the physicality, I think he would be just fine. There would be guys that would struggle with him, his face-up game, not just his face-up game, his dribble pull-up game. The only thing that I worry about with KD back then would be guys like Scottie Pippen. And the reason why I say Scottie Pippen is because Scottie Pippen did a great job in keeping the ball away from him. And when you got a scorer, the one thing that you have to do with a scorer to throw him off rhythm is once he get off the peel, keep him off the ball. That's how you throw his rhythm off. And that's the one thing that I worry about with KD. Because once he get the ball, those two dribble pull-ups, you got nothing for that. I don't care how physical you are. You got nothing for that.
And this is my last point, and I'm out. My last thing, when you said something about Devin Booker, you do know Devin Booker did say that he don't like double teams, right?
He did say that.
He said he don't like double. What kind of NBA player, professional that is, they don't like double teams? You crying and whining about double teams. You're a professional.
And on top of that, like you just said, my man, when did he say that? That was in the summertime. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That was in the summer. So when do I get nice? Like, when does my game improve? My game doesn't improve during the season. My game improves in the summertime. So if I suck in a double team, when is the best time for me to work on that? In the summer.
Yeah.
So if y'all doubling me, actually, this helps. This helps me. And the reason why they was doubling him, if we're being honest, is probably because whoever was covering him was getting fried. That's probably why. That's why they started doubling him. So he should have welcomed that.
Okay. Peace out, people.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Wow.
See, we got Jay
in the back too. Mm-hmm. What up?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, what up?
Yeah. Yo, what's up, chill? 143 to 110 in their building. Just went to their building, beat them badly. And after Porzingis was gone, Jason Tatum managed to close the game out. Like, they really knew that after he was gone, they had to really continue to keep scoring. And that was the most efficient. That was the most efficient game in NBA history, right?
Well, don't let that 110 fool you. It was way worse than that. That 110 was more like because they had their bench players. So don't let that 110 fool you. It was more like close to 100, as opposed to 100. It was more like 95. Or something like that. That's what it was more than anything. Don't let that 110 fool you.
I didn't expect them to just show up. And they really, you were right, Chill. They utilized Porzingis exactly how they were supposed to. The middle of that zone, which collapsed it, and then they just started to knock down a bunch of three-point shots. They would try to double team. And this is how great of an improvement Porzingis was than Rob. Because before, they would double Tatum, and Tatum would have to kick it out to Rob, and Rob couldn't do anything out there on the three-point line. But now, Tatum kicks it out of the double team. Porzingis is out there wide open. He just shoots the three. He makes it. Right. So that's really going to – they're going to – East Bowl is going to have to come up with a different game plan, because he did say at halftime, you know, Porzingis is, like, the biggest thing now. He's, like, the biggest problem we're having now, because we don't have an answer for him. But
they don't have a counter for that. They don't. That was their zone. So they can't go to a different zone. I mean, if they went to a 3-2 zone, what we'll do is we'll just put guys on the baseline or more in the dunker spot. And if you do that, now you got Porzingis at the top or you got Porzingis in the middle. He's dumping the ball off to Al Horford in the dunker spot. He's dumping the ball off to Jaylen Brown in the dunker spot. He's dumping the ball off to Jason Tatum in the dunker spot to collapse that even more. Now when you collapse that even more – now they got to come out of that.
Because he's 7'3", because he's so tall, so he can just look he can just look over everyone and see who's cutting to the basket to kick it out to him. Chill, I have one question for you. Back in 2018, when Kevin Love was the big man for the Cleveland Cavaliers, he gets hurt. You can replace Kevin Love with these three bigs. Which one are you replacing him with to win a championship? You got DeMarcus Cousins, you got DeAndre Jordan, and you got Anthony Davis. Who do you, out of those three players, and this is them back in their peak, so which one of those three bigs are you trusting to go into the deep in the postseason to win a championship?
2018, Anthony Davis.
This is
100%.
Anthony Davis over DeMarcus Cousins?
Yes, sir. Anthony Davis. Do you remember Anthony Davis in 2018?
I didn't watch a lot of them.
Well, that 2018 season rivals Kevin Garnett's MVP season in 03-04, right? He had 50 double-doubles that year. That's number one. He had 50. He played 75 games. He had 50 double-doubles that year. In the process of him having 50 double-doubles, he finished second, and I believe he finished third. I'm sorry. He finished third in Defensive Player of the Year. He averaged almost 30-10 that year. He went 28-11. He averaged almost 30-10, and he was elite on the defensive side of the basketball. Elite. So for a guy like James to be running around with a guy like that on offense and defense, I'll definitely take 2017-18 Anthony Davis if Kevin Love's hurt. Hell yes, I would. No doubt about it.
Well, it's definitely going to be very interesting, Chill, tomorrow to see your 49ers go up against Detroit Lions. Who do you have? And also see, you know, Lamar Jackson hopefully beat the crap out of Patrick Mahomes and make it to the bowl game. Who do you have winning?
I got a rematch of 2020. I got the Niners against the Chiefs in the bowl game. I got a rematch of 2020. I think we get our get back in the bowl game.
You don't think Baltimore can get past the Chiefs?
I think they could, but if I got a dude that's in the AFC Championship for the sixth straight year, not 6 years, for the sixth straight year, and in the process of him being – and he's got a lesser team than he did in 2021. He's got a lesser team than he did in 2020. He's actually got lesser team because his contract kicked in and they had to let guys go. Like, no Tyreek Hill. He's gone. I believe his best wide receiver was Juju a couple of years ago. So, I mean, we're talking about this Kansas City Chiefs team. They go as Patrick Mahomes go. I'm not as good as Lamar Jackson is. I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes, but I will tell y'all this. If Lamar Jackson win the league MVP, which I think he's going to, even though I'm a CMC guy and I think CMC could win it and should win it. If Lamar Jackson wins the league MVP, they get to the Super Bowl and they win it, y'all going to have to shut up the yapping. The yapping got to stop. It has to. I'm not saying that it should. I'm not saying that you should look at this dude different. The yapping has to stop. It's got to dead. It's got to be done.
Because now this guy's legit. He's got a bowl. Two-time league MVP.
I don't want to hear it. Yep. All right, brother.
Good one.
Yep. They're going to have to stop it, Big Ox. The yapping has to stop.
Definitely. So we're halfway through it.
Yep.
All-star break coming up. It's right upon us. Have you had any changes from your initial take as far as finals preview, Eastern Conference finals, Western Conference finals? What two teams do you see making it out the East?
I still don't
count out the Eastern Conference. So.
I don't count out the Miami Heat, even though they've lost five straight. Even though the Miami Heat have lost five straight, I saw them last year as an eighth seed, and people talk about injuries. It wasn't injuries. They just in the regular season, they weren't very good. I will not count out the Miami Heat. As much as I don't want to see them again, I don't count out the Miami Heat. But at the end of the day, I think that I see the Boston Celtics the way I saw Denver last year. I think they're the most complete team in the league. I think that everything that you need to win the NBA championship, they have it. I think that they could, I think that they could go in a different direction when they need to. They do live and die by the long ball, but they do other stuff too. And because they do other stuff, and now that they got Porzingis, that guy in the middle that they didn't have, that dude in the middle that they didn't have, now they have that. Right. I don't think that I have a difficult time seeing the team beat them four times in a week come playoff time. And out west, the road to the NBA championship goes through Denver. I understand what all these other teams in the West, the Clippers, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, all those other teams in the West are doing. I can definitely appreciate all of that, no doubt about it. But until you drop the champs, who I believe before Thursday or Friday, that they were tied for first place in the Western Conference. Until you drop them, the team to beat in the Western Conference is the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, sir. Okay. Let me get to some of the super chats real quick. Also, before I look at the super chats, y'all, if you're watching, you see the two QR codes in the bottom left and bottom right. Now make sure you scan on that. Go check out some Players' Choice merch, some gear for you, your family members, your loved ones, friends, co-workers, man. Let's get the whole world. Let's get the whole world checked out the Players' Choice gear this month. Let's get it going on, y'all. Come on.
Yep.
Let me see what we got up here as far as super chats. I have one from Arkevian Black. He says, salute OG and Big Ox. Is Wimby top five center today? I do. So I'm C-Sen. I think he thinks that he is the top five center today. What you think, Phil?
Joker. Embiid. Bam. Rudy Gobert. Sengun. Sabonis. I don't think Sengun is ahead of Sabonis. I think Sabonis is ahead of Sengun. Anthony Davis? No, not yet.
Not yet. I don't think so. I don't think he is. Do not. But shout out to you, Mark Hibby, and also shout out to Victor Wembanyama. Shout out to the NFL.
Not yet.
One from a pimp named Slickback. He wants to take it back to football talk. He says, what's your thoughts on Bills and Josh Allen? They can't get past the Chiefs, man. Also, what does the Super Bowl do for the last four quarterbacks that are left over?
I think it means the most to Lamar Jackson. Of all the guys, I think it means the most to Lamar Jackson, because the logic is, if he were to win it, in addition to winning the league MVP, there can't be any more of the logic on him has to go away. Well, he doesn't throw and he's a running quarterback. Well, so is Josh Allen. So is Steve Young, right? So is there's plenty of running quarterbacks. There's plenty of running quarterbacks. The problem that we have, if we're being honest about it, the reason why they say what they say about Lamar Jackson, if we're being honest about it, and I'll say it, it's because he's black. They talk about Josh. They talk about Josh Allen all the time as a running quarterback. They marvel at his ability to run as a quarterback. To extend the defense, right? To extend play. I'm not extend the defense. To extend plays. They marvel at him for doing that. Michael Vick. Right. Michael Vick will tell you himself. He tailored his game after Steve Young. Steve Young was a running quarterback who could throw. Steve Young had a great arm. But we marveled at Steve Young for his ability to throw. We called him a great athlete during that time. Nobody ever said anything about Steve Young's ability. Nobody said anything about Steve Young's ability to play quarterback. Now we got a guy, Lamar Jackson, who these guys were calling him a running back who could throw. When in reality, Lamar Jackson has a great arm that people don't give him enough credit for. He's a lot smarter as a quarterback than people give him credit for. And for him to win, and for him to win the league MVP again, that'll be the second time in 4 years that he won it. Not only is it the second time in 4 years that he won it, to get his team to the NFL championship and win it, if this was Steve Young, if this was Josh Allen, if this was, if this was Justin Herbert who had done this, Justin Herbert would be in top five conversations if this was him. So if that's true, then we got to keep that same energy for a guy like Lamar Jackson, because he did what y'all didn't think he could do. He actually is effective at quarterback. He's not just effective at running. He's effective at being a quarterback. He makes the necessary throws.
Right.
When he hits Mark Andrews in the flat, when he hits OBJ, when he hits ODB, man, Lamar Jackson is one of the best quarterbacks in the game. No doubt about it. I can't name five better. I can't.
Easily top five. Easily top five. I don't think we're there for discussion. Thing I will say is, you know, I'm talking to my brother. He knows quite a bit more about football than I do. I'm a self-admitted casual when it comes to football, specifically the NFL. But he was saying that's definitely a fact, Chetan, that they do that with the black quarterbacks. But there's the thing where some of the quarterbacks have gotten into a habit of overrunning, where it's like you have the ability to run, so your first thought is to just get out of it. Where as opposed to maybe if you sit in that pocket for one, two more seconds, you'll get that pass you're looking for. And instead of running for your 7 yards, 6 yards, whatever you might come up with, you're running when you got a 20-yard play right there. You just be a little bit more patient. And so that's what I've seen. But I don't think Lamar has that issue anymore. But shout out to Lamar. I hope he gets it done. I'm I want Ravens Niners. That's all.
I wouldn't mind another crack at them Big Ox. I don't think they 4 touchdowns better than us. I wouldn't mind seeing them again. I would like to see them again. I don't think they 4 touched that. That 33-19 score, it was way worse than that, Big Ox. It was way worse. Don't let that score fool you. We tried to keep it respectable at the end. No, they smoked us. They straight smoked us. I'd like to see them dudes again.
I'm really upset about that too, because my brother, he wanted to go to that game on Christmas down in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get home early enough. I didn't get home till January. I missed it on Christmas. So,
yeah,
man, that would have been great to get to that game. Yeah. But moving on. Let me see who else we got in the back. I see Brooklyn in the house today. Mm-hmm. I see Brooklyn in the house today. Look at this. Look at this, man. He already got that look on his face, Tim. Look at it. Look.
Nah.
How you talking about, man? Like, listen. As far as the rape, as far as the Lamar situation, everything that y'all said is dead on point. Chilltown, who is the all-time leading rusher at the quarterback, or who is the all-time leading rusher in the quarterback at touchdowns?
I think it was Michael Vick and
Steve Young.
It is Steve Young, okay.
Steve Young. So we gotta understand, man, like the pressure that Lamar gets in the media is definitely not the pressure that Josh Allen gets. It's not the same. You know, we all know that, man. And Lamar, as far as Lamar this year, his arm talent and his ability and his awareness at quarterback has definitely caught up with his athletic ability. We seeing a much different Lamar. And by the way, they are 4 touchdowns better than y'all. And they're gonna prove that they 4 touchdowns better than everybody else as well. Because the thing about Lamar is, like, when you have such a game changer at that position that's able to read defenses now much better, able to throw much better, able to make timely passes much better, able to know when to run out of the pocket much better, man, like, that makes for a much dangerous Baltimore Ravens team. But to get to the NBA portion of this, the Miami Heat got some problems, man. And I said what I said about the Terry Rozier trade, but I didn't go into detail. The reality is he needs to get very acclimated to what they want to do, because right now they're on a 5-game losing streak, and they got to figure out what it is and how to fit him in. Today they got the Knicks, and that's probably an ass-whipping with the way that the Knicks been playing. That's probably an ass-whipping wait to happen, bro, because the thing is Miami is contingent on – so much chemistry and all over the board, where Kyle Lowry always knew what to do. He always knew how to when to shoot and when to pass and when to do certain things on the court. I think Terry Rozier, bro, he has to get acclimated to that and very, very quickly, because like you said, it's the dog days of the season. You ain't got time to just be like pussyfooting around and everything, and then you don't know what the team like to do. And certain trades, the one trade that I did like that the guys are implementing very, very quickly over in Indiana is Pascal. He is implementing very, very quickly. Triple double the other night, easy. Like why Halliburton was sitting on the bench, and when they get Halliburton back, and they just won the the game last night against a 62 point Devin Booker, who just put up 62, just like his homie in Minnesota, with an L. And that game I was watching closely because I thought the Suns was going to pull it out, but somehow, some way, the Indiana Pacers fought back and won that game. The 70-point game last night, man, was much needed because they was about to lose that game too. Like, Luka needed every bit of that 70.
About that game? DeJounte should have been guarding him like that all game. I'm talking after the first quarter when he had 20 something. DeJounte should have been like, yo, Jalen, you're not guarding him. I got absolutely him full court. Because the way he was playing in that fourth quarter, that's the DeJounte I need to see all the time.
And another game I like, man, I actually got to do myself Bobby a favor, man. But shout out to what's his name? Harrison Barnes for cooking them niggas and Golden Fake over there, bro, the other night. 40 piece. I told everybody in every chat that I got in that night that the Golden State Warriors is going to lose that game. They came out, man, with all of that energy, man, and everything, man, and they was firing back. Curry was hitting all these magical threes and all of this shit. They tried to match him. The bottom line is, bro, like, Harrison Barnes could not do no wrong that night. And shout out for De'Aaron Fox for the late game defense that he played in that game too. So the thing is, they working their way back up the standards after that that little incident that your coach had with the laptop. So realistically, man, like listen, the Western Conference, it's coming down to where these standards is looking like. All right, they're gonna get closer and closer and closer. I already know why. I ain't gonna get into the reason why and everything, but it's the dog days of the season, like you said, Chilltown. And stop flexing, man. Like y'all destroyed us. Like y'all destroyed a bunch of kids on last week, bro. I'm sick and tired. Quit flexing. You called us kids.
Okay. Yes, you did. I did. And in the process of me calling y'all kids, like y'all I said that we would handle them. That's what I said.
You didn't handle it, bro.
We handled you guys.
No, you didn't. You
yes, we did.
What's that definition of handle?
Okay,
how about beginning to end?
No, that's
you
not.
You didn't handle. Do that, chill.
No,
that's, stop.
You know what handling is? You know what handling is?
Now
your boys are home. No. Your boys are home. My boys are moving forward. We handled you guys. No, yes, we did.
Y'all didn't. Yeah. Y'all needed. No,
we absolutely did. Okay, so how about this, Leaf? How about do this then, Leaf? The last 6 minutes of the game, stop us, and the game's over. How about that? Bruh, we handled our business. You didn't. We handled Leaf, you, Leaf. Dude. Beat it, Leaf.
Y'all didn't
handle it. That's how it is. Leaf. Right
Leaf, it says to manage a situation or problem. I mean, to deal with someone or something.
And you know what you could have done? You could have handled us like we handled our business
that's
at the end of the game. So
that's
deal with that. We handled you, dudes.
That's
simple. We have. I didn't have us smoking y'all. No, we didn't. But we handled you, dudes. Absolutely, we did.
But so, you, listen, you
beat
you
it, Leaf.
You flexing about it, bro. Like
beat it, Leaf. Beat it. We'll see you next year. Beat it. Hey. Goodbye.
I appreciate you, Leaf. Like always, my man. Appreciate you pulling up, man.
Hey, beat it, Leaf.
Your last Super Bowl was in 1995. Sound a lot like
y'all
the Cowboys.
Leaf, y'all got a hell of a quarterback.
Get out of here.
Beat it, Leaf. Goodbye. Take it light, brother. Take it light. See you later.
My man Lee Diggy, shout out to Lee, shout out to Brooklyn, shout out to the Packers, man. Y'all be back. Don't even worry about it, brother.
One gun, you never heard me say that Luka wasn't all that. You never heard me say that. You thought you heard me say that. Then you thought wrong. You better go clean out them ears of yours, because you ain't never heard me say Luka wasn't all that. Never. So you better go clean them ears out. Go get some Q-tips. Go get some water. Go get something and clean them ears out and open up a book and understand what the word comprehension means, because you never heard me say that Luka wasn't all that. Never.
That might have been me, Leaf. I might have let that right. slip out my once or twice. I might have been me.
Duke, knock it off with Leaf cooking me, Duke. Knock it the hell off, man. He ain't cooked nothing. They lost. We beat them. What are y'all talking about? He cooking me. We beat them. So deal with that. What are you dudes even talking about? Get the hell out of here. We beat them. Goofy hey, ass dude talking about them. Nah, Leaf cook on a loss.
What up?
What up,
Ox? What up, Chill? Salute. First time on the show, man. Hey, listen. First of all, I want to say shout out to you guys both. Shout out to Chill and Chill. Shout out to the panel. I definitely respect you guys and your debating ability. I just had one comment for you, Chill. One comment. It's not really even a question. As someone who also thinks LeBron is the best ever, I've gotten to a lot of debates, Chill, and I really like the debating tactics you use. Even one thing I noticed you do a lot. Whenever somebody makes a point, you'd be like, you know, I'm glad you said that. And you come back with it. I feel like it diffuses it. That's pretty slick. But basically, the point I was going to say is that I feel like whenever debating like a LeBron versus Jordan, I feel like whenever the accolades and accomplishments come up, it's a tough argument for LeBron fans. I feel like the best way to go about that argument is just about their skill sets and like their abilities on the court. Because when you start running down individual series and moments and things like that, that's where I think Jordan kind of clears, but if you just break it down with their ability, like, okay, who could score more better in different areas, or who could pass better, who could defend better? Like, you know, I give Jordan the edge on perimeter defense, but I think LeBron was more versatile. And especially in today's NBA where a lot of teams do a lot of switching, I think that's an advantage. So I feel like when you just talk about the games, LeBron comes out more favorably in my experience. And so that's kind of what I wanted to say. So yeah, when you go down the rabbit hole of accomplishments, LeBron got a few things here or there that don't look as great. So keep it on the court, and I feel like you'll watch anybody, especially with your debating style, man. That's it.
All right, brother. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, man. Salute to y'all boys.
Except for me, everybody chill and watch me.
Okay. Yo, Ox be prepared now. You're going to have to use some notes with Ox now. I know, Chill, you like to come off the dome, but you might need to tighten up for Ox. That's a fact.
When I go up against Ox, I got to do my homework. I definitely got to do my homework when I go up against Ox. I got to get my skill set together. When I get some sleep the night before, I got to make sure I eat right. I just can't show up.
Fact.
That's not
so. Let me ask y'all one thing. So that was my comment mainly. How come you think that a lot of times in debate circles, not just on the panel or whatever, but even like in mainstream media, you hear people talk about the accomplishments more as opposed to the players' individual games? How come you think that ends up where the conversation goes a lot of times?
Because that's the result of your skill set, your production.
That's true.
What it is that you're producing. I mean, a lot of people, I'm not a big fan of, you know, he's a better basketball player because one, better basketball players get outplayed. And two,
true.
The fact that you can dribble, the fact that you can shoot better, the fact that you can, you're a better athlete. All of this stuff leads to what you're producing. You're not just out there dribbling, like you're not just out there shooting. You're not just out there playing defense. What is this leading to? So I've been on record saying this plenty of times. How many empty stats we've seen guys have? How many times we hear guys talk about, you know, anybody could lead a bad team in scoring. Anybody could lead a bad team in rebound. So the fact that, you know, you're good at basketball, well, what is that leading to when you want a crew? And when I watch LeBron James, the fact that the stuff that he does, it leads to winning. And it leads to, at the end of the day, being there. When he was in his prime, it led to him being, like I told you, man, we're talking about 9 times in 10 years. This dude was in the NBA Finals. It's a generation of kids that don't know the NBA Finals without LeBron James. It's a generation of kids that don't know the NBA Finals without him. So again, when I think about a guy who's that awesome and what he had to deal with, it's remarkable what he turned into.
Gotcha.
Also, every I do think too. So when it comes to Chilton, like when he says goes off of just what was produced, it's more so because that's what, you know, he values too, right? But Chill doesn't have a problem. He has the ability just due to knowledge of ball to be able to speak to breaking it down. Whereas a lot of people have to rely on, oh, well, they won this, they won that. Because a lot of people don't know what they're looking at. I've come to realize that a lot of people, when they're watching the game, they're not really aware of what they're looking at. So they have problems breaking down what they've seen. So they have to go off the box score, have to go off what the result was, as opposed to breaking down the possession or how does a player react to this? How does the player react to that? I think that's the issue. I think more people, we just got to get into paying attention to the game a little bit more again.
I'm with that.
A prime example would be in the 91 finals when Jordan picks up his third foul against Magic Johnson. Well, we still in the first half. Now, that could take Jay out the game completely because now I got to be careful about how I defend. I got to be careful not to charge into people. But, no, I'm going to still play my game. Not only am I going to still play my game, I'm going to go to the lesser guy. That's actually going to make me even more effective defensively because I got this other Doverman Pinta that's running with me who's also awesome.
Absolutely.
So he's going to take the pressure off me. So now I can roam more. I believe they call the defenders roamers today. He can roam
more. That's what they said.
Yeah, I can roam more. I can be in the passing lane more. I can do all of this stuff more and make me even more effective. That's the stuff when we watch in basketball that you have to recognize as opposed to, well, he went 9 for 27. He didn't do much. Well, let's chill out on that.
And let me add one more thing to the production too, because I feel like along with the production, it's true. The better a player is, the reason a player wins MVPs, it's not just like, it's because they're actually doing stuff. You get what I'm saying? And the reason why a player even wins a championship like a Jokic, to me last year, it showed that not only did Jokic win the MVP, but it showed that pretty much there was really no holes in his game. So his game was complete, and then thus you win. So he's producing on a winning terms, but also he's producing on a stats term. And what I was going to say is that I feel like you got to also look at production that way, because some people can look at like a John Stockton and say, oh, He ain't ever win nothing, but as far as production, he still produced a lot of assist titles and was leading his team in that way. You see what I'm saying? Right. So it's not just the producing championships. It's also, to me, producing at least winning type stats, even if you don't win it all, like a Luka to me. I think Luka, he hasn't won a championship or even been to the finals, but when I watch this guy play, it's clearly like he can play. He can play, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so even if a lesser person wins a chip, it's like, well, I still give me Luka because, I mean, I see what this guy does individually in his production, even though he hasn't produced a finals appearance or a championship.
And good, yeah. And good enough, my man.
Yeah.
You need some things to go your way. Let's be clear.
You do.
Everybody thinks that just because you win the NBA championship, it was just because you were good enough. No, you definitely need some luck on your side. You definitely
team,
need
some luck, to go your way. Injuries, yeah. Your teammates, all that stuff, coaching, you apps, your matchups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Calls.
Yeah.
Calls.
Sacramento.
Don't get him started. Don't get me started.
I swear. No, that was innocent shit. That was innocent. I swear that's not what I was
doing. Oh, my bad. I thought you was going there, Ox. I know you're a Sacramento guy. I thought you was going there. So
he was okay. Going there. He is okay. Going there. He's about to start it. That's what he's doing. He's starting.
Okay. But man, I appreciate y'all boys, man. Y'all keep it up, man. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Appreciate no doubt about it. Absolutely.
Peace.
I'm about to call. Ma, come get him. Ma, come get him. Because we're about to get into it. That's what's about to happen. Me and this dude about to get into it.
How about that? I got DB yesterday. I'm going to leave that alone. Wow. Yeah, mm-hmm. Real quick, I'm going to put this up on time for anybody that just got here, or anybody that, you know, listening and not watching. Let me remind you Chill's top five scoring performances of all time. At number five, we have Luka Doncic, what he did last night against the Hawks. We also have Kobe Bryant scoring 48 against the Kings. That was a playoff performance, heck of a playoff performance. As well as Michael Jordan 63 against the Celtics. That was also a playoff performance. Then we have Kobe again scoring 81 against the Raptors. Everybody knows about that game. And then Will Chamberlain's infamous 100 points against the New York Knicks. He scored so many points in that game that people don't believe it happened. There were people in the chat when Shea was dropping this list that were like, no, you're going to talk about games that actually happened because they feel that Will Chamberlain is a myth.
Not a real person. How about that? He's not Will is not a real dude. Nope. Mm-hmm. That 100 points had never happened.
Crazy, right? Crazy. Also, you know, the show is starting to wrap up. We still got a little bit more time, but let me remind you, make sure you scan. And those QR codes, bottom left-hand corner, bottom right-hand corner, that's where you go to get your Player's Choice merch. Don't be left out. When you start seeing all your friends walk around with Player's Choice hoodies, panel hoodies, I'm talking about beanies, everything, sweatshirts, sweatshorts, whatever they got, you're going to feel left out. So don't take the risk. Get in there and order your stuff right now. Not later, not tomorrow. Do it now. Let me see. Who do we got in the back? We have Minor. What up, Minor?
What up, fellas?
What up?
Chill, I'm disappointed in you, brother. Before I say that, what was the number six? What was the number six scoring performance you would have had?
I saw James do what he did in Detroit in 2006. That was pretty incredible.
Okay.
Let's see. Carmelo going for 60 in the Garden.
I'm disappointed. You were caught up in a moment. You caught up in the rapture with that Luka 73, brother, because that performance that LeBron did in Boston and in Miami when his back was against the wall.
That 45 that he put up.
Yes, against, sir.
That 45 was pretty impressive. Yes, it was.
Yes. Comparing that to a lot of those other scoring performances, that got to be up there, Chill.
It does. Because
they were going to. They were gonna break that team up if they go out again.
They were gonna
break that team up.
Yeah, they were out. It would have been the biggest failure in sports history.
Oh man, and I like a lot of those other previous super teams. You're talking about a team that was everybody was in their prime.
Yeah,
and they couldn't get past Boston. Come on, Chill. You got to put a little more respect on that.
Even though if you think about it, if I remember correctly, Chamberlain. Was the only dude in NBA history to do that, 45 and 16. in an elimination game. Nobody else who did that except him. But I think the one in 2006 was better. And the reason why I think the one in 2006 was better was because nobody picked the Cavs to be in the NBA championship. And for him to go into Detroit as a pup, as a 22-year-old kid on that Detroit team that was awesome and put 30 on them in the fourth quarter in the overtime, and they had no answer for him, none. No matter what they tried to do, they couldn't do anything with him. That was him coming out that, okay, this is the guy that's next to be the great one. This is the guy. Man, I thought that I
remember watching that game in my basement. Just my jaw was on the ground. I couldn't believe some of the stuff he was pulling off. However, my only pushback on that is they didn't have Ben Wallace anymore guarding that post.
They did not.
So I wonder, would he have been able to do that against Ben Wallace?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, he did do it against, if I'm not mistaken, in 2012. No, that was years before, so I can't use that logic. Because Kevin Garnett, he was 5 years removed from being the Defensive Player of the Year. So he wasn't the same Kevin Garnett that he was 5 years before that. So no, I can't use that logic. I think that I when I think about it, there's so many, man. It's so many that it's hard to leave them out. I mean, how about Bernard King 60 on Christmas? Holy man. That's 60 that he put on that 60 that he put on the Nets on Christmas in 84.
You want to be real nasty, the back-to-back 50 he did.
Right. And by the way, that was before he put 60 on him.
Yep.
He had 50 in back-to-back games. And then on Christmas, he put 60 on the Nets. So it's so many that I could go off of. It's so many.
But that LeBron one against Boston, man, that one got to be in your top five. It got to be. That has so many implications for the league. That would have impacted the league significantly. If he loses that game, everything changes. The appeal of LeBron changes. Boston probably goes on to at least to the finals. I don't know if they win it, but at least they go on to the finals, and that gives them another leg up. Everything. D-Wade might get shipped out of Miami.
That team doesn't stay together. We could get to the bottom of that right now. That team does not stay together. They have to do
that. That game has so many implications, Shielded. Not have it in your top five.
I just don't know if it's ahead of that Detroit that Detroit game where that's by the way, that ended the series because they go back home. They go back home and they end the series because they're not coming back to Detroit and winning game seven. They're not. No way are they coming back to Detroit to win game seven. So for him to go in there in game five and do what he did and basically shut the door in Detroit, we'll see y'all next season. That's when you want to talk about implications. I mean, this was his coming out party. This was him becoming that dude that, okay, he is who we thought he was. He is who we thought he was going to turn into. So
ramifications for him losing against Detroit wasn't quite as big because no one picked the Cavs to win that series to begin with. So if they lose that game, they lose that series. Yeah, LeBron, he's still a pup. He's 3 years in. So nobody's going to necessarily hold that against him. But if he loses that game in Boston, I don't even know if we're going to call him King James after that. Like he might have been demoted to Prince James or Duke James at that point.
It'd be way different. No, that's not nonsense. It would be way different. It would be way, because I know for a fact they're breaking that unit up. I'm not on the fence.
Absolutely.
Let me ask y'all this though. Do we see some of the influence of Dwayne Wade on LeBron James' career? I mean, he said that D Wade kind of taught him how to win down there, Miami. But I'm looking at that 07 run that Bron made. Yeah, he got swept in the finals. That may happen. But I'm looking at what D Wade did in 06. If that drove Bron in 07, like
100%.
D Wade got that ring before me, before Melo. Melo never ended up getting one, but I'm saying, D Wade got one. Is that, do you think that that was on Bron's mind, like 07? Like, man, I got to get there. Like, D Wade can't do this, and I can get one.
I think
absolutely.
Yeah, I do.
Absolutely.
It was
does D-Wade influence? Do you think he influenced Bron's career kind of heavily? You know, especially going.
Not take kindly, take kinda out, big guy.
Take
kinda out. He absolutely influenced his career. 100% he did. So we'll start with you just saying about what he did in 06. Okay, that's in the same draft class as me. Right? Same draft class as me. And I'm the number one overall pick. Right?
And rookie of the year.
Yeah, I was the number one overall pick. So I'm basically supposed to be the best player in this franchise. And I'm supposed to be the best player in that draft class. To see this dude, well, he had Shaq. Yeah, he had Shaq who was on the other side. Shaq was still awesome, but he was on the other side. So I got to pick up my winning. Winning has to start with me. Because they talking about this dude and what he did, I got to be able to start emulating this. And then when he gets to Miami, for D-Wade to tell him that in order for us to be what we're going to be, you got to be you. For D-Wade to take that back seat and tell him that, yo, you got to be you in order for us to win, he learned how to win from that. That's how he was able to deal with Kyrie Irving. Irv, you got to be you, brother. Don't let the fact that I'm out here slow you down. No. I can play off you, and I will play off you. Absolutely. D-Wade had a huge impact on James. Without James, I don't know if we're talking about Wade the same way. I'm sorry. Without James, without Wade, I don't know if we're talking about James the same way.
The leadership that he showed after he left Miami is because of D-Wade. The way he was able to train up all of those guys in Cleveland, those veterans, and tell them, hey, this is how we got to do it. This is how we're going to have to roll. That was from D Wade in Miami, man. If he don't get that, that was basically like his professor in a way. If he don't get that education in Miami, I don't know if he's gonna be able to pull off those things in Cleveland. Definitely against that Golden State team that was absolutely clicking at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't argue that.
Yeah,
I will
not.
All right, fellas. Y'all appreciate it.
Good to talk to you, brother. Good to talk to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big influence, big ox, 100%. Big influence, definitely. Yeah.
That's good stuff. Chill down. Before we end, you know, I like to get a quick rundown of the games of today and kind of get your predictions. Well, Detroit and DC are playing right now, 61-63 at the beginning of the third. Who you got pulling out?
Washington's actually been playing better as of late, and Detroit is still garbage, as we know, but Washington has actually been playing better. And Marvin Bagley has been really good in what they've been doing in Washington. So I think Washington beats Detroit. I think they handle them.
I mean, well, Chetan, we could talk about Marvin Bagley if you want to. I mean,
I know.
Forget about that. Talk about that.
Marvelous.
I'm 100% fine with that.
Marvelous.
Yeah, let's do that. Talk about that. The burn spikes. We can do all of that. But, you know, we can set it up for another time. Miami versus New York.
I love what New York is doing right now, Big Ox. They rolling right now. They got a sense of security, and that sense of security is their defense. That's what's been helping them out the most. That's what's improved the most, Big Ox. Five of the last six games they played, they've held teams under 100. Five of the last six games. And they got this Miami Heat team that's ailing right now. They've lost, I believe, five straight. Right, five straight, and I think the Knicks handle them today. Yeah, they do. I think it's a nip and tuck game, and I think that Miami's going to fight, but I think at the end, I think Miami handles them.
Okay, then we have the Sixers versus the Nuggets.
I'm actually doing that game on playback tonight at 5:30. Me and Miles are doing that game. I think that it's going to be the same. I think it's going to be different this time with Joel Embiid. I can't see Joel Embiid putting what do you have? 51?
40,
41, 41 or something like that, or 51. I don't know if he puts 50 on them again. I doubt that. And I don't think Denver loses this game to Philly tonight. I think they bounce back from that performance that they had the last time. I think that Jamal Murray is better. I definitely think Joker is better. 100%, I believe that.
Okay.
I think Denver handles them.
So you and Mars go
at 5:30, right before me and Flynn. It's gonna be a lot of good playbacks tonight. Mm-hmm. Check y'all out too. Rockets versus Nets.
Brooklyn's definitely been going the other way, and because Brooklyn's been going the other way, I think Houston handles them. Definitely, I think Houston handles them. I think it's going to be a tough match for Houston because, again, Mikal plays defense, right?
Yeah.
I do think that it's a tough, but Jalen Green just came off having a really good game. A couple of, I think, two nights ago, he came off having a really good game, and they're going to be looking to try to slow him down. And because they're going to be looking to try to slow him, That's going to leave open a lot of opportunities for guys like Jabari Smith, guys like Sengun. So I think Houston gets them tonight.
Okay.
The Jazz have been rolling lately. Colin Sexton's got my vote for most improved. Him and Sengun, I think they're right there. Yeah, Claire, you did. You definitely missed that conversation about Luka being the best white hooper of all time.
No, even though he's not.
He is not, but you definitely missed that conversation. We missed it too.
Yeah, right.
But to answer your question, Big Ox, New Orleans and Utah. Utah's been playing really good lately. But I think New Orleans gets them tonight. I do. I think New Orleans gets them tonight. So I'm going to roll with them.
Okay. The Celtics are taking on the Clippers.
That's the game that I'm looking forward to. Right. I ain't gonna be able to. Well, actually, I'm gonna be able to watch that one after I get off with Mars. I'm gonna watch that game. Leonard and the last time they saw Boston, they lost by almost 40. So this is gonna, and this is in their building too. This is in Boston. So I think Boston beats them again. I do. I think Boston beats them again. I'm gonna definitely tap into that game tonight.
100%. That's definitely a game I'm wanting for playback today, but we got the schedule. That was the one I'm really
gonna check. Yep.
Pelicans Bucks.
Who in the Bucks?
The Pelicans in the Bucks.
I thought Pelicans played the Jazz.
No, the Hornets played the Jazz. Did I say Pelicans?
You did. You said New Orleans.
Oh,
you said New
Orleans. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So the Hornets.
I thought Hornets. Right.
Okay, so the Hornets and the Jazz. I'm taking the Jazz over the Hornets. Okay. Right. So Pels Bucks. They got a back to back tonight. I think Milwaukee bounces back from last night's loss. They in a bit of a funk right now with their coaching staff, but
yeah,
I think Giannis is good enough that he can get them. Him and Brook Lopez can get them a win. I think they're good enough to handle that. So.
Well, Zion didn't play last night. I'm assuming he won't play tonight either. So
he didn't play last night?
No, he didn't. Zion did not.
So maybe he'll play tonight.
They said he had a left foot contusion. So.
That's a bruise, Big Ox. Give me a break, man. Damn. That's like getting punched in the arm. Boom, you got ow. Okay, right. Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, man, Chad, y'all supposed to catch me on that. Call me out on that when I said the New Orleans earlier. I got to be on top of things, Chad. But we also have Minnesota versus San Antonio.
Minnesota handles them. Yes, they do.
Yeah, for sure. Lakers versus Warriors.
The Warriors have just been all over. The Warriors are the Titanic, Big Ox. The Lakers handle them tonight. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, yeah. The Lakers handle them tonight.
That's once again, just to reiterate, y'all. That's again, and me and Floyd will be doing right. And the one and only Mars will be doing the Nuggets versus the Sixers. And like I said, me and Floyd will take over from there. But the last game of the night is the Dallas Mavericks taking on the Sacramento Kings.
Don't be surprised if Luka goes for like 15 tonight. Don't be surprised if that happens, Big Ox. Where you might see him, where he might not do anything tonight. Like he might have emptied all of it last night, and tonight he goes like 18-7 and a pedestrian 7, something like that. Don't be surprised if you see that, Big Ox. Don't be.
He looked pretty wore out after that game. So
yeah, he was definitely empty.
Yeah,
He might have to get on the IV to rehydrate.
So you
got
Kings tonight?
Yes, I do.
Well, actually, we just got one more super chat in. Let me go ahead and take care of that. So, this is from 20 Hardaway. 20 Hardaway, that's fire. I like that. That game six said LBJ's legacy and hampered KD's. OKC likely beating my Celtics and keep the core three together for a long time. Biggest moment of the 2010s.
Biggest moment of the 2010s. What is the biggest moment of the 2000s? KD going to the Warriors. That was huge. That was huge. KD going to the Warriors. No matter what else happened in from 2010 to 2019, KD going to the Warriors. Nothing tops that.
Absolutely nothing. That was the end of the show. A great Saturday. I got to run to work. I got this wedding expo that's about to start in 15 minutes. But beautiful show. I love you. Appreciate you, Chilltown chat. We love y'all. Keep showing up. We'll see y'all on Wednesday. We'll see y'all tonight on Playback. Playback is going crazy. Playback is the best thing that has ever happened to the team. I will not lie. Chilltown, anything for the people before we get out of here?
Put on a suit. See what Big Ox rocking, right? Put on a suit. Drink water. Don't drink and drive. Hey, man, call your mother. All right? Call your mother. She's looking for you. And until then, take it light. Take it. See you, dude.
All right, chat, man. Y'all make sure to tap the playback tonight. We'll see y'all Monday on the panel.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.